Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Football is finally here, and we got some stuff to recap. I was going to do a week one predictions, but I couldn't get around to it. And it's on my TikTok, which if you don't follow me on TikTok, it's at @MainMarkMurph. But welcome to episode 24 of the YWC Football Talk podcast. Nightmare 10, Phil is back here once again with me. And I'm going to go back to Skype for a second because we did this when we answered the phone, and I got to do this again. But Superman Cam. Oh, I know there was a bit of trash talk when it came to everything. Like, with not so much with, like, oh, how Cam played, but oh, let's see how you do against a real opponent. But you know what? There were some moments where he looked a little iffy, but for the most part, man, Cam looked pretty good yesterday.
He did. He did look really good. I mean, he didn't have to do a lot, which is exactly what is the perfect formula anyway. He shouldn't have to do a lot, which is, you know, when you put a lot on the quarterback, which they did do last year, which is conveniently enough, they put too much on Brady. He had no help. I was really impressed with Newton. And the fact it's so weird. It's still, like, it was obviously, you know, first game without Brady in the uniform, but it was actually and we'll talk about this later. But like it was more weird seeing Brady in a different uniform than not seeing Brady. Which, if that makes sense, I really thought it was gonna be emotional not seeing Brady on the field, but it's also weird just seeing a quarterback that can run the ball. I'm like, what is this? it's just weird how, you know, because obviously, you know, that's kind of where the future's going, but at the same time, it's like we haven't had that. So, outside of a random run where you go crazy for Brady, but I do think Newton looked really, really good. I was impressed. He obviously didn't have to throw as much, so we'll see in the games where maybe someone contains him a little bit more. We'll see how his arm truly is. First impressions, I was definitely impressed. I was like, okay, he can at least manage the game, so that's good.
Exactly, and also, too, like, there was a lot of plays where Tom would usually take a sack or have to get rid of the ball or just have a grounding, like I saw he did one yesterday against New Orleans. But with Cam, there's those plays where he's able to get out of the pocket. And I do agree with people, like, when they, like, chirp, say, oh, like, you just played Miami, and, like, it's just Miami. I know I said the same thing more than once. But I'm excited for Sunday. Like, I'm not, like, going into it being, like, nervous. Like, oh, if it was Stidham, I'd be going into it being like, oh, we're going to lose. Like, when I saw this game on the schedule back in May, I kind of circled it as, like, I wouldn't be shocked if we lost it. But it's going to be a good test, too, because if Cam goes out there, and even if we lose, but say if it's, like, 27-24, like, we lose by a touchdown, and Cam looks decent, I'm going to be impressed, because even though Seattle's offense looked really good yesterday, their defense didn't exactly let Atlanta, there were some plays where Atlanta just got the ball off really well. The Julio had a good game. Calvin Ridley had a good game. So we'll see what happens on Sunday, but for the most part, it's exciting just to know, like, hey, Cam's in this system. But like we've said too, and I know Big Rat's a big advocate for this because he's so anti-Josh Allen, when people are like, Josh Allen looked good, I'm like, yeah, he played a worse Jets team. I'd say Miami gave us some trouble yesterday, but not too much trouble.
Yeah, they just don't have talent. I mean, I think the Dolphins, I will give them props in the game, is I thought they kind of coached pretty well, like it's the best they could with the talent that they have. They just don't have the talent. It just isn't there. I think their defense, you could see some shines. God, I can't remember the guy's name, the linebacker. And as Big Red jumps, getting ready to jump into the call with us, but so he'll know more about it. Is it Carter? Not Carter.
Baker.
I don't know. Baker. There you go. He seemed pretty good. I mean, doesn't have any discipline. The only thing I will say is this, I'm leading into this, is the discipline for the Dolphins isn't there. So I want to kind of ask Big Red when he jumps in about that. Like, is there an issue there, or does it just happen to be like first game jitters and stuff like that? Because there's a lot of stuff like. And that's my one thing with Cam. Cam's going to kind of fight back, so it's going to be a little different to see that. Now that Brady didn't fight back, he would walk away. So it was kind of different to see Cam, of course, being someone that, you know, is going to fight back. But the Dolphins seem kind of mouthy. But that's kind of this rivalry also, too. So maybe it's just the fact that I haven't seen it in a while.
And we got the Dolphins fan. Here he is, Big Rat. Like, we were just talking about it, just going in a little bit and yesterday kind of saying how, even though, like, it was 21-11, we thought that Brian Flores did actually ran some pretty good plays, and also, too, the defense had some moments where it shined. Like, I even tweeted out yesterday saying that Jerome Baker was a bit of a problem for the Patriots. I just want, what did you think about the game yesterday from your perspective, from the Dolphins' perspective?
I would agree. I thought Flores made some nice adjustments throughout the game. The Patriots had good counters. Like, early in the game, the Dolphins were pretty consistently having, like, linebackers trail James White. But the problem was, it, like, really exposed them in the middle in the running game. So then, as you got closer to the red zone, Flores would instead have the safeties do that, whether it be Eric Rowe or Bobby McCain trailing him out to the flat. But then, as to keep the linebackers in the middle of the field, not having to chase James White and exposing them to problems. And then the Patriots would then counter, and then you'd have those plays where I think both of Newton's touchdowns were outside, up to the right side, up through the end zone. I thought Flores made some good adjustments. It's just, you know, I just think the Dolphins front seven is getting a lot of heat today. And, I mean, you know, they were up and down. Like, I thought some guys played well. I mean, I thought Jerome played well. I thought Christian Wilkins had a good game. I thought Devon Gotcha had a good game. But really, I think the story was just that the Pats front, you know, just bullied them. Bullied them, and Cam and the running backs were able to get space whenever they wanted, and they just ran the ball really well. The Dolphins made adjustments. They did their best. Like I said, some of the linebackers, some of the D-tackles, like, did a good job contesting, limiting the yards after the catch. But, you know, the Patriots deserved to win, I thought, pretty clearly. I mean, they deserved it. They ran the ball very well. They deserved to win. Even though the Dolphins did some good things, Patriots were the better team.
The one thing I want to notice, too, on one of the Cam runs, I noticed that the Patriots did this perfectly, where they did a three wide receiver set to the left. So that took away the corners and the safeties, made them go to the left. So then Cam saw that, read that, and it was just a simple quarterback sweep to the right. So he just walked in, clear as day, and by the time that Miami realized it, it was too late, and Cam was basically just running into the house. So that was just one thing I noticed. That was one thing I noticed right away. I think it was too Jim and Tony picked up on it perfectly during the game, was just the way they did that. And like I was saying to Phil earlier with Cam, Sunday versus Seattle is going to be a bit of a challenge, but if they can come out of that either with a win or looking impressive, like, I still think it's a good sign, because a lot of people are going right now, like with Tom, where it was, oh, he was playing New Orleans next week, for all we know he's going to torch Carolina. With the Cam, they want to see Cam throw, and they want to see Cam beat a good team. And I just made the argument, I want to see the same from Josh Allen, because let's be honest, the Jets were probably the worst team yesterday in the NFL.
Right, and I think, I mean, going on the whole Cam thing, like, we talked a little bit of this already, but, like, his decision-making was on point. Like, that was the biggest thing. He didn't have to throw a lot, but he knew when to run, when not to run. You know, and that was, you know, when to hand it off, that kind of thing, when to keep it. There was one play, like, I don't know how you don't fumble the ball. Like, I'm impressed. Like, it was just like a fan perspective being, I mean, it's not just Cam, other people do it. But, like, he basically gave the ball all the way to Sonny Michel and then still kept it. Like, it was just like, I was like, that play was awesome to see, because it's like being able to do that and not, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, I think, something I was going to say. One thing I will say, a concern of mine still, obviously not having Hightower is a big part of this, just because it kind of allows for more of a pass rush. The pass rush from us was kind of non-existent. Like, we sacked Fitzpatrick like maybe once or twice, maybe. So it just seemed like there's, I mean, that's always been a New England problem. We can never seem to get a good pass rush. So that's still going to be a concern, because if you don't get pressured, people are going to get open. And so I think that's the thing, and that's why I love on the other side of it with Cam, is because he's able to open up and extend the play even longer when receivers aren't getting open, where Brady's, like, wanting to get the ball out really quick, which is a good thing, but that's also, if there's no one open, what are you going to do with the ball? So,
yeah, I mean, just from my view as a, you know, quasi-Patriots fan for this year, I mean, it was less so yesterday. moving forward, yeah, I agree. I think it may not be sexy, but I think, yeah. I don't know, I think for the first month, maybe New England fans should be, like, okay with, like, this kind of a model. It's like, because I get it, like, you want more downfield throws, you want them to stretch all three levels of the field, but, like, do you really want him throwing deep shots to Damir Bird all day? Like,
that's exactly right. We don't have the offense to make it a flashy win. Like, these wins aren't going to be this, like, you know, it's like, there was no need for a 40-point game against the Dolphins, because that's not what we needed to do to win. Like, you know, it's like, not saying that we wouldn't have scored 40 if we could. I'm just saying, like, it just, that format is just, you know, to do what works and stick with it. You know, it's like, you know, we don't have the offensive weapons to go out there and have Cam go nuts with it. But it, you know, as they grow and as Nikhil Harry decides to hold on to the damn football, but so I mean, yeah, I mean, I was big on Harry going in. I liked what I saw from him up until that point. Like, he's getting good reps with Newton, so I was impressed. I'm just like, hold on to the ball, even though I hate that rule when it fumbles in the end zone, and but still,
I think if one thing
y'all
I was,
can escape, like, I'll just say, if y'all can escape September, like 2-2 or 3-1, like looking like this, I really don't think that's that bad. It's like, okay, yeah. Like, and then you know, maybe you'll have more explosive plays towards the end of the year as everyone's more comfortable with each other. So.
Exactly, and the one thing I want to say too is actually, because every week on Sundays, I usually just text, there's a buddy of mine I went to high school with who's also a Patriots fan, I just text him the score. I actually said it was going to be 21-10. Like, I have a feeling a lot of these games are going to be like the Patriots of November, December, where there's just those, like, gritty, grind-em-out wins. Just like the, like yesterday, 21-11, which is a very obscure score for football. But, like, just stuff like that. Like I could see, like, a 17-10 somewhere down the road. Like, stuff like that. Like, where the defense is still going to bail them out a lot, which, even though, like, we're missing guys like Hightower, a guy like Chase Winovich really impressed me yesterday on
He played great. I'm glad you mentioned that, because, yeah, he played amazing. Yeah. But I think the true test is we're getting a test early. Seattle, we're going to see that Russell Wilson's balled out at week one. He's carrying the momentum from last season. They have DK Metcalf. Can Gilmore cover him? You know, you got Lockett. They have more weapons than the Dolphins have on offense. So I think that's going to be a very, very good test early on to see how this defense is doing without Hightower. And, you know,
Chris Carson, too, for Seattle, looked fantastic yesterday.
Gilmore, another thing, I'm going to knock on, that's my boy. Gilmore needs, you're too good. You don't need to be, like, he was like those two PIs were on him. Like, that's.
Got beat by Preston twice.
He did. He got beat. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I guess better pass interference to get a touchdown, give up a touchdown. But still, it's like, both times he kind of looked at you. I'm like, bro, you know what you did. Turn around, look at the ball. Like, but, I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's cornerbacks. I mean, Ramsey even did it last night. But
I'd say the Ramsey one was probably the worst one. Like, if a team knows about either, it's funny. There was a game where they had where there was a blown pass interference call that wasn't called that made them win a game, and now they have a pass interference call that goes in their favor to have them win a game.
But at the same time, with that, Dallas had 3 points it gave away, and so guess what? Karma comes back to get you. Like, it just does in football. Like, you give up 3 points, something's gonna happen in football where you're gonna be like, man, if I had those 3 points right now. And that's exactly what happened to Dallas.
Talk about a team, too, that lost some stars. Leighton Vander Esch out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken collarbone. Jarwin done for the season with a torn ACL. Marlon Mack done for the year on Indy with a torn Achilles. It was like my prediction, unfortunately, came true, where we lost two pretty big, I wouldn't say pretty big, but I'd say two relevant stars. But just one thing I want to say quickly yesterday with upsets, can we just all come together and admit that DeAndre Hopkins probably had the biggest fuck you performance yesterday, giving that middle finger straight to the Houston Texans, having a career day, and Arizona actually looked pretty good against San Francisco.
Really good. Kyler Murray looked, I mean, I only got to see highlights. I didn't get to watch that game, but, you know, he looked, from all the highlights I saw, he looked great.
Yeah, no, it was surprising he was able to do that week one. It's like, I think we all knew that game could come.
Especially against the defending NFC champion. Like, that defense was no joke last year. So that was, that's, you know, everybody talked about Jimmy G apparently didn't play well. I didn't, like I said, I didn't watch enough to know. But, so it's, that's the Niners. I mean, it's week one. Week one overreactions are Jimmy G and the Niners done. Like, that's, but I mean, they'll be fine. Yeah. But Arizona's here to play.
Yeah.
That could be a very good division this year.
I watched a bit of this game yesterday, and from what I noticed, it was just Jimmy made a play when it mattered most, Kyler. And then, like, there was moments too where Kyler was just making the defense just look silly out there. And, like, even, I'll say this now, I heard this, Kyler's that one guy you don't want to play with because you don't know what you're going to get. Like, it's like the same thing with, like, Cam right now. You don't know what you're going to get. Kyler's another one too, because Kyler's just elusive and sneaky. Like I said, I think I said on the podcast, or even some people were saying, the potential whole second-year breakout thing. Someone said it too about Locke, but we'll find out about that in a, Big Rat's gone. Be right back. He's back. But the one thing I was going to say, too, is a lot of people are looking at Kyler to make that next big step. Be like, you know, Patrick Mahomes in his second season MVP. Lamar last year MVP, which we'll get into him in a minute because they do not look like they missed a beat yesterday in Baltimore. But we'll see what happens with Kyler Murray. But also, too, just one more point. Who would think that Arizona versus Washington week two would be both one team of that matchup would be going 2-0?
Right, that's correct. Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be, I mean, that's going to be a good test for Kyler Murray because that Washington D-line, I mean, obviously they played a weak Eagles O-line that on Sunday. But still, like, that D-line looks legit. Chase Young looks unruly. We already knew Chase Young was going to be a beast. Yeah. But Kerrigan, I mean, that D-line is good.
Yeah, and Kerrigan, too, now
Kyler
has
Murray, he also, Kyler Murray was making good, like, from what, like I said, I only got to see mainly highlights. But it seemed like, to me, Kyler Murray is playing smart. Not only is he really talented, but he's playing smart. He's choosing the perfect times to run when he broke out that big long one. Like, so I think that's good. That's an early start. I mean, Arizona defense is no joke either. So it's like with my boy Chandler Jones. So
exactly, like Arizona. And plus two, I know it's not your ideal school, but Isaiah Simmons as well is a baller.
Oh yeah.
But another Gamecock had a good day. Another Gamecock had a good day too yesterday. Melvin Ingram for I was about to say San Diego for LA. I just saw the tweet from Gamecock football basically saying that Gilmore and Ingram both had good days, but that's one other thing I want to say quickly, man. I didn't watch much of the game either. Like, I was just, because I have, like, I don't have a Red Zone channel here. We have something called The Zone, DAZN, and through that I get Red Zone. So I got to see the ending of Chargers Bengals, and to watch Burrow go down the field, he didn't look like a rookie. He looked like a vet. Like, Burrow, we'll give him some time, but man,
the biggest thing with Burrow, which is what I expected him to have, like, a pretty good, you know, like, they're not going to win games a lot of the time, which was proof there, even though they should have won that one. But like he's got the talent, he's going to look really good. Like, I just think, will the coaching match up catch up to that? You know, or will the coaching be good enough for that? And then also, you know, just the talent around him, you know, the defense on the as well. So offense, he's got weapons. So. I didn't see the T Higgins do anything.
I'll look up his stat line right now. But from what I know, no.
That's one thing I meant to look for. But
that's all good. That's what we're here for, guys. We just look up stats on the fly because you know what? That's our style. And Big Rat's back. Is we're just talking quickly about. It's unfortunate that Burrow lost the game the way he did. But I was saying to Phil, he looked like a vet out there. He didn't look like a rookie. And just looking at Higgins quickly for Phil, Higgins.
Well, Griff looks that up, buddy.
I don't think I don't see his stats on here, so I don't really think he did a whole lot yesterday, but
he must have been. He looked good. They're still working on the offense, I'm sure. But
the only thing I got to say is, I don't know which was worse. Or, you know what I love? I'm going off track here. I love how Bears fans go from saying, fuck you, Mitch Trubisky, we want you benched, to we love you being down. Like, the Lions just find, like, there's certain teams who find, like, weird ways to lose. The Lions just, I don't know how you could be sorry to the Motor City Marks. I don't know how you could be a Lions fan, because one week they'll, like, lose this way, and then the next week they'll just, like, rip your heart out one week, and then the next week they just put it back in, and then they rip it right back out. I feel like that's what being a fan of Detroit Lions football is.
Joe was talking about how he's not even surprised anymore about that, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in touch.
That was a very, like, stereotypical Lions loss, like, under Matt Patricia. It was eerily similar to their week one game against the Cardinals last year, except instead of a tie, they just outright lost the game. Where you had this commanding, I think in week one last year it was an 18-point lead, and this year was a 17-point lead, and you look like you're in control, the offense looks good, the defense looks good, and then it just all falls apart. And yeah, the Swift drop is certainly bad luck, but it's like, I definitely feel bad for them. I have sympathy to some degree, but it's also like, I don't know. Don't let it get to that point in the first place. Like,
Jones, you have a huge lead.
Why are you like?
As we are, Chris Fowler coming to the podcast. I just heard the Monday Night Football stream coming from one of you guys. I guess one of you guys are streaming it. And I just heard Chris Fowler quickly. That's all.
I was just gonna say, yeah. Like, don't let it get to that point. Don't blow a 17-point lead. Don't throw an interception under 2 minutes and give the Bears the chance to win. It's just like. Like, don't do these things, and then you're not in the... Because there's, like, a drop in every game. There's not always a drop touchdown, obviously not as egregious as that. But, like, it only costs you the game because of your own fuck-ups the previous half. So.
Yeah, it shouldn't even have been at that point. And it seems like the Lions have that stigma to where, like, oh, wait, we're in the lead, we're the Lions. Wait a second, we can't do that. Yeah. But then you see them go out and beat the Patriots last year. So it's like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah. They're literally... It's like, for every good thing they do... They literally take 2 steps back. Like, it's like, oh, hey, they can go out here, like you said. and beat the Patriots, do whatever. Like, they had a really good win against them, but then the next week they'll go out and, like, blow a 17-point lead to the Chicago Bears like they did yesterday. And also, too, I feel like Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are doing whatever they can because they literally just gave the entire team pairs of Jordans, and I just love that how they're, like, wearing these brand-new white and orange shoes, full track suits like it's college, like, what are they going to do? Like, pay them, like, Apple Watch? Like, each game it's a new gift. Oh, hey, this week's Apple Watches. This week's, like, a new TV. It's, like, next week's an iPhone with AirPods. It's, like, where's the gift giving going to stop with the Chicago Bears? The only other thing I have to say with a fuck you performance was Aaron Rodgers basically going, like, hey, Green Bay, you want to draft a quarterback? Yeah. I'm still me.
That's what happens when you finally get rid of your dead weight, a.k.a. Danica Patrick. For those of you that know who that is.
Yeah.
But you probably broke up with Danica Patrick, who is horrible in that, or was horrible in NASCAR. She's not in NASCAR anymore. But yeah, Rodgers balled out. I mean, I have Adams on one of my fantasy teams, so I was very appreciative of that. But I expected, like, the Vikings, man. That defense, like, I had a feeling, which is funny. I had the Vikings defense in one of my leagues, and I was like, the night before, I'm like, I don't feel good about this. And so I literally dropped them, picked up Tennessee, and they would have got me not negative -9, the Vikings. I'm like, oh, thank God. I had just something about a feeling. I'm like, I don't know. I think Rodgers is about to go off, and I bailed at last minute. So sometimes those good feelings are good. Don't always listen to your feelings last minute, though. Sometimes they can get you.
Did you guys see Mike Vrabel's mask yesterday when he was boarding the plane?
I did.
Derrick Henry is Mike Vrabel's the fantasy football coach of the year. Like, just like by that, like that mask, I have Derrick Henry in a couple leagues, and I'm just like, if he does not get over 20 points tonight, I'm going to be disappointed. But
Denver's defense without Von Miller is going to suffer. I think Henry's going to have his for sure. It's just whether Drew Lock looked pretty impressive, so we'll see. If he keeps that up.
I don't think Sutton's gonna be playing tonight. That's the other disclaimer. If for anyone listening, we're recording as the Giants Steelers game is on, which is in halftime right now with the Giants up 10-9, and Titans Broncos is later. So we'll figure the results of that later. But the other game I think we got to talk about, honestly, Saints and Bucks.
Yeah, I mean,
because I think that's a game all three of us watch. I can tell right away from when Big Rat looked and went, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's a game all three of us watch.
Let me just say, like, anyone surprised, like. Let me just say this. Anyone surprised about how that game went? The Saints are good. Like, they're, like, don't just act like after, because it's, like, I get it. There's a lot of going, even with, like, there was a lot of emotions going in. There's a lot of, like, you know, the narrative toward Brady, but all that narrative, Saints was like, we don't care. We're still the Saints. Like, that Saints defense, and I'll even give props to both defenses, even though I know the Bucks ended up giving up a lot of points. But points are, it's hard to stop. Like, It's the other things that I look at, and it's like the defense for the Bucks looked good for a majority of that game. It's just you can't contain that offense. I mean, Kamara, if that wasn't proof, why Saints you should have signed him like forever ago. Like recently, like that was proof. They got like that man needed his money. Like I mean, so and Michael Thomas didn't even do that much in that game. Like that's what's impressive about the Saints. Like they don't their star guy doesn't have to do every. You know, it's like
the Saints should have won by even more.
They should have. Like, they should have.
And yeah, like there's obviously the Kamara touchdown at the buzzer that got taken off, which would have made it 41-23 by the score. But there was also just there were like the Bucks offense. It's like they moved the ball almost all their touchdown drives needed like a 40-yard, 30-yard pass interference penalty to move the ball
that's
down
true.
The field.
Yeah,
and Craig, I mean, I get it. It's Mike Evans. That's part of his game. You throw a jump ball to him, he either catches it or he draws a PI call. I get it. It is somewhat sustainable. It's just. That's kind of their way of doing it, and it was pretty remarkable. Like it just seemed like for most of the fourth quarter, even when it was like an 11-point game, it just felt like the Saints were like pretty clearly outclassing them. You know, it was just like they were the better team. Like,
it's funny you mentioned the Mike Evans thing because going into the season, that's the matchup that I was the most excited for Brady. But I actually thought like because I like Mike Evans and I like Brady, but like. That was the one I knew was going to need the most work because it's just Brady one is like and if he proved it in this game, his deep ball is just not the same. And so like Mike Evans, that's your guy. So if you can get like Big Rat was saying, if you can get it close, then yeah, you might can get a PI or he might can you know make a play and get it. But it's like that chemistry is going to take several games to get there. Whereas you guys like what's the guy's name? Scotty? Is it Scotty?
Scotty
Miller. Scotty Miller is going to. Be a fantasy beast.
Justin Watson.
Godwin. I knew Godwin was going to be you know, I had no worries there. I just thought that it was good to see that. I knew that with Evans. And But one thing I'll say is the one concern that everyone had about the Bucks is already showing early. That offensive line is not playing good. Like, I mean, obviously it was one man.
The one guy got so turnstiled.
One man is all it takes. Like, that was the key. Like, if the offensive line is not good, Brady, like, it doesn't matter how quick he can get it out, you know?
You are strong as your weakest link.
He was getting owned. Like, Cameron Jordan was having lunch, like, in dinner all at once. Like, Cameron Jordan had his way with Smith, I believe his name is. So that's a problem. Like, if you got to move him, you got to do something. Like, but that's the things that you work out through the early of the season. I'm not going to overreact. Like, anyone saying, see, I knew the people overhyped the Bucks. Like, yeah, there was probably some overhype. But no one overhyped them over the Saints. I don't think I ever heard anyone say that they were going to be better than the Saints at the end of the year. I didn't hear that from anybody. So it was like, okay, we saw what we thought we were going to see. So now we'll see next week when they play a team they should easily beat in the Panthers. So, which, who knows? I don't know. The Panthers are still, the Panthers played well against the Raiders as much as they could.
The Panthers are going to be that team, but just want to know quickly, I think the Panthers are going to be that team where it's like, they're going to shit disturb a lot of people. Like, I think Matt Rhule's not going in there being like, oh, hey, we know we're rebuilding, but we're not going down without a fight. Like, that's what they did yesterday against the Raiders. So, honestly, it would not shock me if the Bucs win that game, but it's close. It would not shock me, or if it's, like, close for, like, it's close for, like, 80%, and then you see Tampa pull away. But even yesterday, too, like, Gronk was quiet. Like, you saw, I don't know even that, too, but I feel like as well, I think Arians had a leash on Brady. Like, am I the only one who thought that? Where he, like, with a lot of the run plays and stuff?
No.
I'm saying that Brady, like, just in general, that he had a leash on. Like, where it was, you knew Brady could do more, but then Arians, I feel like, was being very restrictive, who also looked like an idiot wearing those Oakleys inside the Superdome.
Their run-to-pass ratio was very run-heavy, or at least more run-heavy than it usually is under Bruce Arians. Like, this is usually like the first or second heaviest pass team in the league.
Yeah.
And they were running runs and pass at like a 50-50 clip at one point during the game. So to that level, yeah, they were kind of restraining the game a little bit. I thought it was interesting in the presser, the first Brady's interceptions. So the second one, the pick six to Jenkins.
Yeah.
That just may be a play they have to take out of the playbook. Like, that's a hard throw. That's on the far hash outside the numbers. I just don't know if 43-year-old Brady can make that throw anymore.
Against a quarterback that's one of the best in the league. Like, Jenkins made, like, that's, like, I saw that play, and I'm like, Brady, there's no way that receiver's going to be, like, that. Like, Jenkins is dying for that play. Like, that's just a play that should have never happened. I agree with that.
If you watch a Matt Schaub, back, like, when me, Phil, and Markeem.
Lottery Matt.
The 2013 Matt Schaub season that got him finally benched as the starter in Houston. Go watch, like, the first play of the game against the 49ers, where he threw another pick six to extend his streak of, like, most games with a pick six. And it was the very same play. Far hash outside the numbers, takes it to the house. It's just a hard risk. The first pick, you know, I think Troy Aikman, like, on the broadcast was like, oh, miscommunication. Oh, like, Mike Evans made a mistake. Apparently in the press conference, Bruce Arians actually said that it was Brady's fault.
Yeah, he said he overthrew. Yeah. I heard the same thing. I thought Brady clearly overthrew him. Like, he overthrew him. That's the first thing I saw when I saw it. Like, yeah, there was probably some miscommunication involved in that, but still, it was more of Brady didn't get him anywhere near him.
Like, that's one thing I got to wonder, too, is how is Brady going to handle, because he's used to being called out by Bill in the film room where it's private and no one knows it. I got to wonder how him and his ego are going to handle being called out publicly by your head coach, because that's something he's not used to.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, but even, too, though, like, for everyone saying, like, the whole Mike Evans thing as well, like, someone was, like, just asking about fantasy, like, oh, I took Mike Evans, he's going to be Brady's biggest target. I'm like, no, he's not. It's going to be Chris Godwin, because Chris Godwin's that guy can catch like a 10 to 15 yard pass and then take it down for an extra 20 yards or so. There's going to be those occasional lobs to Mike Evans, but for now, there's going to be some miscommunications. Like the first one, too, you could say it's on either guy, but the fact that whether if it's Evans didn't run the right route or Brady overthrew it, it's just at the end of the day, man, seeing a Jameis Winston seeing his former team's new quarterback throw a pick six must have just been on the sidelines being like, man, that was me once. Like, feels good not to be me.
Exactly.
As of now, Jameis Winston, as a Buccaneer last year, he averaged 1.9 interceptions per game. Brady, that's what everyone said all summer. All summer, everyone said, say what you want about Brady, at least he won't turn over the ball. That's what everyone said.
No, exactly. That's the thing that, honestly, it's like, because then after that, I think someone said, like, stat-wise, he was technically better than Brees after that, is what, I never looked into that, but they said, but stats don't, I think in that regard, it's like, well, Brees didn't have to do nearly as much, like, because he...
If Brees was down two touchdowns, Brees is probably throwing it down.
Right, exactly. So I think that's what I was saying. Like, I think the stats are a little skewed there. But yeah, I think this doesn't shock me. Like, I know, like, we're obviously Patriots fans are having their fun with the whole, you know, 1-0, 0-1. Like,
and quasi Patriot fan.
I mean, I don't think the Bucs are in trouble. I don't think at all. I think Brady's fine. They'll get it figured out. Like, at all, they're gonna get. They have too much invested to not. And I just think it's just, you know. It was just proof that you're looking at a Saints team that didn't change. They were good last year. They're going to be even better. Like, and then against a team that has all these new pieces, all these new things. I mean, Fournette didn't even really barely get. He barely got in the game himself. So I think he's going to be key.
I will say I thought Gronk looked pretty slow. So like, well, that's
With Gronk, I think it's clear they. It's so, like, as much as you overhyped the Gronk signing thing, this is exactly what I knew that they would end up doing. Like, I thought Gronk would get more than he got, but, like, he was crucial in the run game. Like, that's what they used him for. They're like if they're smart, I would, like, you shouldn't have to use him that much. Obviously, in that game, they needed him. So, it looks bad in that regard. But, like, he's just one of those, like, he should, like, you have all these other weapons. Gronk should not be a guy that has to do everything like he had in later years in New England. But
I think it's going to be embarrassing. Just one quick thing. I think it's going to be embarrassing towards the end of the year when we realize that Gronk was going not only above O.J. Howard in fantasy drafts, which he was, but he was also, like, he was, like, a top 10 tight end drafted. And, I mean, I'm not shitting on Gronk. I like Gronk. It's just, I don't know. I think I of the two, OJ is the one who looked like he had a little more juice when it comes to fantasy.
OJ did look good, and I think, OJ did look good, and I actually made, like, I have in one league, I ended up, because you can actually
take two
start a tight end in the flex, so I actually ended up drafting Hayden Hurst, and I got Gronk later on in a couple rounds just to see, like, just in case Gronk was good, I wanted to be able to, you know, I could play two tight ends. I ended up deciding to play Gronk instead of Hayden Hurst, and that bit me in the butt. So I was one person. I just thought, because I thought if anyone that Brady's going to get a touchdown with, that's what I thought. I didn't think Gronk was going to get a lot of points, but I thought it was almost like a guarantee he's going to get a Gronk touchdown, even in garbage time, he didn't get it. So I was like, okay, well.
The only thing I want to say is, well, the best throw yesterday wasn't even done by Brady or Breeze. The best throw was that Taysom Hill passed Alvin Kamara late in the game. Like, yeah. Just imagine, like, that's the thing too with the Saints. When you think you got them figured out, they just throw the wrench called Taysom Hill right at you. And that's why I think this team has a chance this year to actually go deep. Like, I want to see them go deep just so they can write that last chapter, get that swan song, get that second chip. Because, like I've said before, in the NFL, there's a huge difference between winning one championship and winning two.
Well, I think the two things, the thing with Taysom Hill, too, though, they have to be careful because in that same game, I can't remember exactly the situation. But Taysom, the Bucs sacked him like in the backfield because of, like, it just looked like an obvious play where Taysom Hill is clearly going to run with the ball. So I think you have to be careful how you use that because it's like once he's in, it's like I think the Saints are creative sometimes with it, but sometimes I think it kind of bites them and it's like, you know, you kind of kill momentum. Like, I think they did that some last year. So I think finding the perfect balance there is a key to the Saints with Taysom Hill.
I think it's kind of what you guys said. It's like, I think it's going to be different this year. Like, I don't think it's going to be, they gave Taysom Hill $21 million over 2 years.
Yep. Yeah.
I get the sense that he's going to play more than we think. Like, maybe this would be a very Sean Payton thing to do, to like college style, legit two quarterback offense. But I don't know. I think he's going to be involved. Like, he's young. He's got, he's not young, but he's got juice and he's got a lot of athleticism to him, even though he's 30. And that was one of my takeaways. I don't think that number's going to go up this year. I'm not saying he'll equal Breeze or be more than Breeze. No. But I think he's going to play more than people think.
Also, what are your thoughts? So this got broke. This got broke before, like early Sunday, or I think it was early Sunday. I think it was before the game. But that the Saints were strongly considering going after Brady if Breeze ended up taking that deal, that TV deal. Like, what do you guys think about, like, the fact that they were going to go after Brady?
Unlike him going to Tampa, I'd probably be wearing a black and gold Tom Brady jersey right now.
And I think he takes, I think he takes that Saints job too. I think that I don't know. I don't know how you could. I don't think he. You know, Michael Thomas. Come on, like that's
yeah.
So, but anyways, I just thought that was intriguing that the Saints. Which I mean, yeah. What do you do? I mean, if Breeze is retiring, I mean, like, why not go after him?
Sorry, guys, if you hear a ringing in the background, my home. Someone's actually calling my home phone, but it's probably a scam or some random number, like those or a telemarketer. Sorry about that. But no, that was very interesting. Like, and even two people were saying to me, like, "Oh, how could you hate on him?" Like, when because I sent out. If you don't follow me on Twitter at Mr. Griff B, cheap plug, I know. I just tweeted out Cam 1-0, Tom 1-0 with an emoji of the guy just shrugging his shoulders, and I did that just to be like a troll, being like it just shocks me that Cam has been in the organization for only 2 months and looks like he had a full off season with them. Meanwhile, Tom, who's been with them. I understand not having a preseason, but just the fact that you have this 20-year vet who's won 6 Super Bowls, who's with a new organization, and then you have Cam, who hasn't played in 2 years because of injuries, looks like Cam just fit in perfectly, and also they catered the offense to him. But like I said, I think we're finally starting to see that Byron Leftwich isn't exactly Josh McDaniels for offensive coordinators. But I will give credit to Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles can run his defense really well. And he's also one of those guys. He's also one of those. Pardon me?
No, so I think that defense showed some good things. I think they're going to be stronger as the year goes by.
Murphy.
They were good last year. I mean, they were 7-9 with how horrible James Winston was. So.
Antoine Winfield and Murphy Bunting really impressed me on their secondary. Because with their defense, the secondary is the one position that really is a bit of the concern for me. Just because, obviously, they have a good front seven, but the secondary is younger. And they gave up Hargraves last year because of behavioral issues. But even though he's a top sack DB in the league. That's the only other thing I have to say. Besides
one
that,
thing I will say, oh, go ahead, Big Red.
I was just going to say, like, look, I know, like, the Brady stuff, like, yes, they'll need time, they'll figure it out, and all those caveats. But I do think yesterday's two Patriots-Bucks games highlight, coaching matters and offensive line matters. And so that's why, like, for last year, when everyone, and kind of for a lot of Brady's career, but especially last year, when everyone was saying, you know, what do you expect? Look at who the receivers were. Now he has Godwin and Evans and Howard. It's like that is a part of the story. That is not the story. And yes, he upgraded at receiver. He also downgraded offensive line and downgraded at coaching. And that matters. That matters. That Cam with no receiver, good.
Yeah, and I think and to Griff's point about the whole memeing thing. Like I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was hilarious, the meme of, like, Brady on the sidelines, like, going, like, oh, I made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Like, but it's early. Like, it's just fun. Like, what do you expect Patriots fans to do? But I went into that game. Like, I didn't watch that game wanting Tom Brady to fail. I wanted him to succeed. So don't think that I went into that game. Like, I really wanted to go into that game and see Brady ball out. But it's like, you know, it's like, because I am a huge fan of his. But at the same time, it's just, like, it does show a lot that, like, okay, grass isn't always greener on the other side, but it's still week one. Let's not forget that. It's still week one. Let's not overreact. Week six, if we're still seeing a struggling Tom Brady, then it might be a problem.
And especially, too, because their schedule, they play, like, teams like Green Bay. He's got to play Mahomes this year. Like, when you play teams like that.
You don't win games on paper.
That's, no. I'm like, just saying this.
In a nutshell, like Big Red said, like, everything matters. You have to execute everything.
Because next week, if they play Carolina and they don't beat Carolina significantly, you're going to get those people still making those questions. Like, or say if Brady has a questionable play here or there, it's a matter of, oh, when's he going to figure it out? And then Denver, who's still got a pretty good defense, even though they unfortunately lost Von Miller for the season. But like I said, too, when he's got to play like Aaron Rodgers, when he's got to play Patrick Mahomes, and that because that Kansas City defense is nothing to laugh at anymore. That's one of the best defenses in the league. As I think Big Rat's frozen on me, but Phil, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Yeah, he's frozen. But that's the thing, too. Is I want to see him against his video.
Yeah,
I think he's coming back. He's back. Sorry, he froze. I want to see, like, when he plays, like, those good top-tier other Super Bowl contender teams when it's later in the season. Or even, too, the rematch against New Orleans, I think it's week 8 or 9. I want to see what they look like then.
I just want to say, here, after the Panthers, I agree about the Panthers. It's as close to a must-win. A must-win in week two is too exaggerated, I know. But,
right.
I mean, it's just
Charlotte,
this is probably the lightest game in their schedule. Like, and it's no disrespect to the Panthers. It's just literally, here are the four defenses they face after next week. Broncos, Chargers, Bears, and Packers. It's like, There's no gimmies there.
The Bears also, too, is on a short week. That's Thursday Night Football.
In Chicago.
Yeah, in Chicago. So that's the other thing, too. Traveling, and that's not a close distance to travel either, going from Florida to Illinois. That is pretty far.
Yeah, they got some stuff to work through. I do think, I kind of foresee this week as being the week where, like, it's like, okay, you know, they put up, like, 28 points, and they look good, and they win solidly, and everyone's like, okay, calm down. And then the next week when they play the Broncos in Mile High, at least, like, they might like, win the game, but the offense might not look as good.
And also,
because that's such a tough place to play.
And also, too, Brady hasn't exactly put up, even with New England, he always struggled in Denver. There's only, like, a handful of games, like, one was Tebow in 2011, and then one was when they went there in 2017 when the Broncos were bad. But every time he played Peyton Manning in Denver, playoffs included, he did not win.
Like I said, I still think this says more about the Saints than it does the Bucs. I think the Saints are just really good.
Oh,
they are.
100%. Yeah. Just moving on quickly, which team would you say was worse yesterday? The Colts or the Eagles, which was the worst loss?
Well, I would say the Colts. The Colts have no excuse. I don't care, vision or not. They have no reason losing to the Jags. All this hype I heard about. That's why I was like, I don't know where all this hype was coming from, because I just thought, like, Phillip Rivers. Let's see. I mean, he's got to learn a lot. I mean, he's still got to, like, you know, adjust and stuff. And we'll see if I end up eating my words. But it's like, I was not impressed by that Colts team. Like, I didn't have the hype. I didn't feel the hype that most people, like, some people had them winning the division. I'm like, whoa. But then you have a team that's supposed to tank? A team that's supposed to tank goes in and beats you? Like, or, you know, was it in Jacksonville? I can't remember.
But it was in Jacksonville. The only game yesterday in front of fans.
That's right. That'll
change next week. The Dolphins are allowed to have fans in the stands.
So Colts, too, and I think this Thursday night there will be fans.
Let's talk about that real quick. What are your thoughts? Do you think that that's an unfair advantage for a team?
Because
if you think about it, like, we're watching the games and we're hearing the crowd noise. So, by the way, sometimes it works. Sometimes it completely sounds awkward. Like, I don't know about you guys in watching the game. Sometimes it sounds good. Sometimes it's not so good. Like but I mean, obviously, dead silence. It would sound like a practice. It would be really, you know, practice to quote Bill Belichick. But I think if not every team can allow fans, that no team should have fans. That's just my opinion, though.
Exactly, I agree. Yeah. Plain and simple.
But here we are. So that's not going
to
happen. Yeah. So,
like, even though the Dolphins are allowing fans, I don't think Big Rat's going to be rushing to go into Hard Rock Stadium anytime soon. Or unless you are. That's up to you.
No.
I mean, I might like towards the end of the year. But, I mean, I'm busy this weekend anyways. So I got to seeing how conditions are, policies, etc. But,
Okay. Just wanted to ask. That's all.
I do think it should be all or nothing, though. I mean, they're not going to, because they would rather have more revenue with as whatever fans they can get to pay for tickets, and they'd be okay with that. So I get it from that angle. But yeah, it is. It would have been really unfair if the Bucks won this game, and then when the Saints play the Bucks in Tampa Bay, the Bucks get to have, you know, all their fans in the stands later.
Right.
In the- So.
That's what I'm saying. So that's another thing, too. It's like, so, like, later in the year, if you decide to, like, now if people allow fans, it's like you said, I mean, then now it's like, it kind of puts a disadvantage at that, like, when you played them early in the year, or, you know, teams. So it's, yeah, I agree.
It's like when New England goes to Miami, which is the game's actually on my birthday, and they'll probably be in front of fans. Week 15, December 20th, that is my birthday.
Yeah, they'll definitely be in front of fans. It's Florida. Florida doesn't care.
The only other things I need to say about yesterday is that...
That's kind of their MO.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been back... Disney's been open for a while, so...
The only other things I have to say about yesterday is that Baltimore looks good. I don't know what's wrong with Cleveland. And as for Thursday night, I think Bill O'Brien's gone at the end of the season if they don't make the playoffs.
From day one, Griff, I'll tell you what's wrong with Cleveland. It's an organizational problem. Same thing with Detroit. Like, it's an organizational problem. You can add all the talent you want to that team until you change the mindset, which is what Oakland/Las Vegas has had to do. Like, It's a mindset. Like, Cleveland has that mindset, we're not good enough. And so they're never going to be. Like, when you get there, it's like your mindset, you put the mindset on instantly. It's just, you can just tell that it's a culture problem.
They're also on a very bad streak of, like, their head coach losing their first game in. And I was like, even yesterday, too, Kevin Stefanski was not Kevin Stefanski. He was, like, very, like, from what I didn't watch any of the game, but from what a lot of the play calls were, it seemed like he was very timid, or he was kind of, like, conservative with his play calling. And also, too, for Baker, Baker's got to be Baker. Baker, I think, is trying to be like a Lamar Jackson or a Patrick Mahomes. And if Baker can be Baker and just sit back in the pocket, you know what, run occasionally, just throw to like Landry and throw to shit man, Odell. Puns are intended. I'm sorry. It's too easy. We also haven't recorded since that story broke.
It's so funny that he plays for the Browns.
Exactly. Whole new meaning to the term Cleveland steamer. But... That's Big Ryan is just losing it off camera right now. But man,
it's like, I can't believe he said that.
I was looking at, but that's, it's just, I don't know what it is with Cleveland, but like, I'm looking at Thursday nighters, and no offense, but like, the first three are Cleveland, Cincinnati, which I don't know how it's going to go, then Miami, Jacksonville, and then New York, and the Jets and the Broncos. So two of those three.
It's not going anywhere, yeah. But Thursday night football is trash, man. It's trash. It's always been trash. It always will be trash. Like, even two good teams, like, how many good Thursday night games can you think of off the top of your head? I can't think of any.
When Cleveland played the Jets 2 years ago and Baker Mayfield replaced Tyrod Taylor, that was fun.
I do remember that one. I'll give you that one.
OG fans remember this. Back in 2013, when they started doing Thursday Night Football, the Browns faced the Bills, and it was like E.J. Manuel versus Brian
Taylor. Yes,
I remember that.
And like the Browns.
Oh, his signal kind of cut out. Okay. But
one thing I was going to
say. Oh, there he is. He's back.
One thing I was going to say, too, is I still think OBJ gets traded. I still think it's happening. It seems to be like it's written on the wall. I don't know.
I think it's next offseason. I don't think it's this year.
Well, whether it's his fault or not his fault, I don't know. It's really, really hard to justify giving him and Landry the contracts they have, with the offense not being as good as it should be. It's like the financials don't make any sense. So, yeah, I think it just seems like, for whatever reason, like I saw that OBJ, I didn't watch that game at all. I watched most of the 1 o'clock games, but not that one. OBJ, I think he had 10 targets and 3 catches. And it's like, how does that happen? Like,
yeah, I drafted him in one of my fantasy leagues. I'm like, why? You never drafted him. Why? Why did you do this?
I'm going to look it up quickly because I'm curious. He had 3 receptions on 22 yards. He averaged about 7.3 a carry, and he was targeted 10 times.
Yeah.
That's not good. 3 catches for 22 yards.
How, like, is he just not the same? Is Baker just so inaccurate? Like, I just don't know what it is. Let me tell you, the Baker thing is becoming a real problem. Like, I don't want to overreact. It was the Ravens on the road. Like, it was literally as brutal of a matchup as you can get. But I feel like we all kind of entered this season thinking it can go one way or the other. Like, is he the guy we saw his first year? Is he the guy we saw last year? The early indications aren't great. Like, if they're bad this year, and I only say that not because I'm giving up on them, just because they're the Browns, and the expectation should be that they win less than 6 or 7 games, because that's just who they are until they prove otherwise. It does kind of put them in an interesting spot, because after that third year, that's when the extensions start coming in. This is when Deshaun and Mahomes got extended. You know, next year, all those guys, Baker, Josh Allen, Darnold, it's going to... Like, at least if you're the Bills with Josh Allen, and it's like, okay, we don't know yet, but, like, we're picking 20th in the draft. Well, I think they're going to be picking, like, 12th. But, like, if you're picking late in the draft, it's like, okay, well, what can we do about it? It's not like
we have a quarterback. You pretty much have to commit. I agree with that. Because, like, and with Baker, it's like, I'll say this about the Browns. Like, the Browns keep drafting. Not only do they draft quarterback, like, say what you want about talent-wise of Manziel and Baker, but they kind of had the same mentality. Like, they were great in college and everything, but they have this, like, I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I wouldn't even say, like, I don't know if I would say cocky, but it's just they have this mentality that isn't going to work in Cleveland. Like, I said from the get-go, like, Baker is going to fail in Cleveland. Not for talent-wise he's going to fail, but he just isn't going to make it work, because I just don't think that's the kind of person they need. They need a true leader quarterback. Not saying a Baker's not a leader. It just doesn't – he doesn't – I don't know. I can't really describe it. I just think Baker's just like – to me, it's a carbon copy of Manziel, and it didn't work with Manziel. So why do you think it's going to work with Baker? I just don't – I never thought that matchup between them and Cleveland was going to work well.
But,
and I'll say this, somewhere right now, Trevor Lawrence is on his knees begging the Browns to win games because he does not want to – I would not want to go there. I would just be like, nah, I'm good.
The way he looked yesterday, the Jet fans better be hoping that they tank, because like I said yesterday, Darnold did not look good yesterday. And I know
– I saw one play that looked absolutely like wide open Crowder.
The team in general, like, I don't know how you justify Adam Gase keeping his job after this season.
We'll see where they – well, it depends on
– still early.
Long season – this, I will say this to people who like to bet on like spread lines in the NFL. For any listeners, the Jets with Adam Gase is very, very easy to figure out. I've been saying this for a year now on this podcast. They will either win a game close or they will lose and get their asses kicked. So it's very simple. When you see Buffalo minus 6.5, I think was the spread. You have to ask yourself: do you think the Jets can beat them in Buffalo? If you think the answer is no, then expect the Buffalo to win by double-digit points.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Like, similarly, last year, I've told the story before on the podcast, I helped one of my biggest wins in gambling was week 16, they faced the Steelers at home, and the Steelers were like 5-point favorites. And I was like, well, this doesn't make sense. You either blow out the Jets or you lose close. And do I think the Steelers with Duck Hodges can blow out the Jets? No. So I'm like, yeah, I think the Jets are just going to beat them. Like, even though the Jets aren't that good, I think they're just going to win. And that's what happened. They beat them at home and kind of ended their season. Like, that's how you figure them out.
And also, too, if you're the Jets, you get a very welcome present in a very pissed-off San Francisco 49er team coming to town this coming Sunday. And just looking at the spreads quickly, the Jets are San Francisco's a 6.5-point favorite. I'll take San Francisco to cover.
Yeah, it's either – I would say you either pick San Francisco to cover and they'll win by double digits, or if you think the Jets – or if you think the Jets are going to cover, don't bet on the Jets to cover. Bet on the Jets' money line to pull the upset and win a close game. Because if there's no way the game is – I can't see like San Francisco winning by three. I don't think that's on the table here. It's Jets by three or San Francisco by, you know, 10.
Double digits.
Like the story of Patriots-Jets for the last 10 years has been either a close –
like, exonerate Gase because he didn't have a good – it just – well, I was just going to say very quickly – a lot of that seemed like Darnold's fault. Like, he was just – it was bad. Like, he was just missing throws. Like,
That is offensive line looked shaky. Daniel Jones just threw a pick.
He comes out. He's drawn out. And then, like, literally has an open throw and takes a sack. Like, he had all day to at least throw it away. And then Crowder's wide open. Like, I just watched the play today. They re-showed it. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, that's like – you should, like, okay, first-year stuff maybe, but second, like, come on, bro. Like, you should make that, at least get it close to him. Like, you just take the sack there was horrible.
I'm just looking here at spreads quickly. One I would take to cover, I would take the Panthers. The Bucks are an 8-point favorite. I think there's a chance the Panthers could cover.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the Panthers cover that. I mean, I'm not big on spreads, but I would think they cover that.
And also, too, another one that could potentially cover, I think, is the Chiefs are a 9-point favorite. I think there's a chance the Chargers could cover that one as well.
Yeah.
Like, the Chargers aren't good, but they're not that bad.
Their defense is good, though.
Yes.
I'll say that. They played a good – I mean, Tyrod was, you know, at times tough to watch. In terms of, like, funness, like, their offense just wasn't that fluid. But like their defense showed up. Like I know it's the Bengals. It's a rookie quarterback with a bad offensive line. But still, I thought their defense was consistently getting pressure. They were a fun watch.
But
Daniel Jones just made an awful throw in the end zone, intercepted. Just throw that on there.
Yeah,
awful throw. Like, why are you making that throw? I was just applauding him early in the game too. Now he's making some dumb throws.
Yeah, like even to Tyrod Taylor, 16 for 30 with 208 yards, and then Burrow was 23 for 36 with 193 and a pick, with a 66.1 QBR. Like, for what Burrow, like when I said earlier he didn't look like a rookie, he looked like a veteran, like, Burrow's going to be exciting to watch, but they're just not going to win that many football games. It's as simple as that. They just still have to add a bunch of pieces in, so we'll see. But at least if you're a Bengals fan, there's like, it's like Miami this year. There's hope towards the future. Like 2020 can be a write-off,
the,
but
the thing is, you have the talent at quarterback. Okay, now you need to build around him. You need to make sure he has a defense. You need to make sure the coaching's there. So,
if I could say on Miami, because I haven't gotten to talk about them yet, because I need to yell at them a little bit.
Go ahead.
So, yes, looking towards the future. You're right on that. It is about the future. Don't overrate this year and these circumstances, etc. So, for all the people who've listened to me come on this show and talking about this Dolphins team, I've been saying for a long time, I think this is the worst team in the division. Yes, even worse than the Jets. I know the Jets are everyone's punching bag and all this and that. But the Dolphins defense is just not ready yet, and I've been saying it all summer. And I think they were getting a little too much hype because of that Week 17 win when they weren't quite there yet. I think expecting a Ryan Fitzpatrick, Chan Gailey team to win 9 through 10 games is asinine in 2020. Maybe their path to contention is like Tua comes off the bench and he has like a 2012 Russell Wilson like rookie season. And if that all means absent that, even though I thought even though I thought Flores like did a decent job and Jerome Baker did a good game and Wilkins and Godchild a good game, I thought the offense was quite bad. I thought Fitzpatrick was terrible. The receivers were quite bad. There was very little separation throughout the game. DP got hurt. Preston was able to draw the DPI calls on Gilmore, but wasn't really able to separate himself a whole lot throughout the game. I don't know why they didn't get Jakeem Grant more involved. He's kind of their speedster spark plug who could beat man coverage that the Patriots use a lot of. He should have been more of an emphasis in the passing game than he was. The offensive line looked okay. I also, like, not to dig sand in the wound on this, although not too much sand. You guys won. You're feeling good. Patriots D-line is not exactly the most intimidating test. So next week they play Buffalo, and I would like to see that, to see like if this offensive – they're starting – for those that don't know, they're starting two rookies in the offensive line. They're not just starting their first-round pick, Austin Jackson, at left tackle. They're starting their fourth-round pick, Solomon Kinley, at right guard. Starting, like in the COVID offseason, a fourth-round pick.
Wow.
And they're playing Ted Karras at center. Ted Karras, who replaced freaking David Andrews last year, and some Patriots fans weren't a big fan of him. Eric Flowers is their best and most reliable offensive lineman at left guard.
That's not a good thing.
So it's sketchy. I mean, good on them for playing decently yesterday, but as long as Fitz is in there, I just don't see a lot of potential for this team. I think that every time, like, Fitz, like, hats off to him. He managed the bad situation last year. He made the season fun for the fan base. He made it manageable to watch and sit through. He gave us some fun games and fun moments. So for that, thank you for your services. But now that the standards are raised and it's no longer about tanking, it's like, I mean, every quarterback they play is going to have a quarterback advantage on Fitz for the most part, with a few exceptions. So, yeah, I'm kind of I did not think he played well. I did not think the offense played well. My hope is that I also don't want to put Tua in right away. I want to give him more time. I don't want to start him against the Bills defense. I don't want to start him Thursday night on the road at Jacksonville in front of fans. I'd rather not be his first start. The week after, when they play the Chargers, maybe we can talk about that. Or my bad, I think it's the week after that where they play the Chargers, week 5.
But yeah, the Seahawks week 4.
There's no need to throw him out there right now. Like, there's just no need to do that. One thing I will say, Big Red, it didn't seem like they used him a lot, but, like, the little bit I got to see of him, your tight end, I can't pronounce his name, but your tight end, yeah, he seemed like he could, like, they should really use him more. Like, he seemed like the one, to, like, I think the one or two places I saw him do, like, he seemed good.
Yeah, he did. Just quick clarification, the Chargers is actually week 7, so okay. Or the Seahawks week 4.
I think it is the Seahawks week 4.
Yeah, so the Gesicki is good. He drew the DPI call. I think that was Terrence Brooks.
It was Brooks, yeah.
See Jackson. Yeah. He is good. He's going to be more involved. I mean, he was very explosive in December.
He was in that
game against the Bengals last year.
And in the game, too, against New England week, the famous Week 17 game, he had a few significant plays. Just looking at the schedule, you guys go home to Seattle, at Denver, at San Francisco, at Denver, and then I believe the Chargers.
Yeah, so I would either do home to Seattle or home to Chargers. And I know the Chargers is not an ideal defense to play against, but I do not want to start them on the road in either of those games. And those are both pretty intimidating fronts. Those are pretty tough places to play. so I'd rather not. So I'm just going to stick with that. But I thought, yeah, I mean, realistically, like, the Dolphins fought, but, like, N'Keal Harry doesn't fuck up. The Patriots are up 21-3.
That's like, right.
Yeah.
And, like, the Dolphins, they probably could have scored a touchdown towards the end to make it 21-11 anyways, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I thought they looked – they did not look that great offensively. Defensively, despite getting gashed on the ground, like, they – you know, they made adjustments. They were hustling. They had some wild plays here and there. So, hopefully, let's just see if they play better this week. I really want this win. I personally don't care that much about the season. They can go 5-11. It really won't bother me. It won't change my trajectory of the future. It won't change anything. In fact, it will just mean we get a better draft pick, so that's cool with me too. But this game I want. I'm so tired of Josh Allen kicking the Dolphins' ass. Josh Allen has played the Dolphins 4 times. There are seriously like maybe the 4 best games of his career. I'm not even exaggerating. Even when he was a rookie. When he was a rookie, his 2 best games by far were both against the Dolphins. And I'm sick and tired of that. I'm sick and tired of watching him gash up this team. And then other smarter teams like your Patriots, you know, they know how to make him have a bad game. Like, why can't we ever do it? Like, if we are supposed to have the same Patriots defensive mentality, like, so yeah, this week is important to me. The rest of the season, I'm up and down about. I care about the division games. I care about winning this week. And then I'll obviously care when Tua is in the lineup. And that is a win. There's no chance Fitz will start all 16 games.
Oh, yeah, there's no chance, dude.
No, not a chance. I just love to how with the Bills and Dolphins that Miami goes to Buffalo goes to Miami when it's still hot as balls, which I assume it's still really warm down there. And then you guys go to Buffalo when it's going to be freezing cold. I just find that hilarious.
Yeah, and it hurts us more than it hurts them. I mean, it certainly hurts them. But when for years, whenever the Dolphins go into Buffalo, it's just – it's like a funeral home. Like, it's just brutal. Like, they just – they get murdered every single time. It's almost as bad as going to Foxborough. But, you know, last year they actually put up somewhat of a fight at first, and then kind of faded a little bit in the fourth quarter. So hopefully that changes. But, yeah, the temperature effects definitely matter. No doubt about that.
I do remember the game last year. I think the Miami was up, like, I think 17-7 at some point, and then I think Allen had a big, like, second half and fourth quarter, and then the Bills ended up winning that game. I can't remember when the one in Miami was, but like you said.
It was very forgettable. You know. It was week 9. It was after the Dolphins got their second win over the Colts, and then week 9 they played the Bills at home. They lost 37-20. They got like absolutely torched by the Bills. Mm. Allen was fucking killing us that day.
Well, I think that's gonna think. Besides, I don't think we have anything else to talk about, guys. So. Both of you guys, thank you very much for coming back on episode 24. We will see you guys later. We'll see you guys back here later this week as we do our picks for week 2 of the NFL season, guys. Take care and have a good day.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.